You're listening to the People Over Profit podcast. Hi, I'm Justine Beauregard. Since 2008, I've helped scale multiple businesses to 7, 8, and 9 figures by focusing on quality connections, not vanity metrics. For decades, we've been taught to believe that business is just a numbers game, but really, it's a relationships game. Gone are the days of prioritizing money over our missions and the people that our businesses are built to support. I created this podcast because I want you to make a difference in the world without feeling like you have to sacrifice your income or your integrity to do it. If you're building a business that puts people first, you belong here. Now, let's spend some quality time together. You've probably heard the phrase before, facts tell, stories sell, or that people buy with emotion and back it up with logic. Both of these statements are inherently true. I want you to think about the last thing that you purchased. For me, this was 8 books for my oldest son, who actually happens to be 8. That's weird. These were not books that he needed. I knew that they were books, though, that he wanted and that were going to make him happy. So I bought them. And then I justified it to myself with thoughts like, reading is such a great hobby, and I would much rather have him reading books than watching television. Or, these are going to build so much creativity and curiosity within him, and he's actively building the skill of reading comprehension in school right now. This is a great investment in his education. I saved 20%, and that's not a sale that I see often on this book series. There are so many little logical, nuanced negotiations happening in my mind as I was making that purchase. And sometimes, like with this example, we use storytelling to sell ourselves on an idea. And what I'd like to talk about today is how you can incorporate those same skills of storytelling into your marketing and even into your sales process to hear more yeses and to understand why this happens, which is a big part of why I don't just coach and mentor people on the topic of sales, I also train. So here's how this is going to go. I'm going to share different reasons why storytelling is effective, and then I'm going to use storytelling to illustrate the points I'm making that much more. Sound good? Okay. So the first reason storytelling works well for sales is that it builds confidence in a buyer. Often when we are shopping for a solution, we only have a couple pieces of the puzzle. So we know that we feel stuck. We know that we desire to go somewhere ultimately, and we're missing that messy middle. Stories are what fill in the gaps of the why, the what, the how, the who, and the when. So let's say, for instance, that you sell hand-painted canvas artwork. Jennifer knows that she has an empty spot in her living room for a new piece of artwork, and she doesn't yet know what would fit well there. She just knows that she wants something on the wall. And so she's out one day just walking downtown and passes a gallery and wanders in, and you happen to be there where your artwork is on display. And you walk up and introduce yourself. And she mentions to you in passing that she has this blank wall in her living room, and she was just here to get some inspiration and kind of see what was out there in terms of artwork that could potentially fill that spot. So naturally, as an artist, you start asking questions, but not about what kind of painting she would want to buy. You start asking questions about her. What emotion she wants to feel when she walks into her living room. So you begin to think of paintings that tend to elicit those types of emotional responses. What her favorite books are, what her favorite activities are, so you can start to narrow by the color palette and the shapes and the style that influences different paintings you've done. You might even ask questions about her psychographics, like her personal values and beliefs. And from all this information, you craft a compelling sales story. So you say something like, "You know, Jennifer, I remember meeting someone named Quentin a few months ago. They wandered into the gallery and we started talking, and I quickly discovered that Quentin had an empty space in their bedroom. Similar to you, they're an avid hiker and love historical fiction. And as we started looking at some of the paintings on this wall, drawing inspiration from authors like Colleen McCullough, with that intricate, sometimes exaggerated quality of ancient Roman architecture, Quentin immediately started to see how that piece reflected back the elements of other pieces of furniture in their bedroom. And when I think of a living room, like the room that you have told me you have kind of this empty space in, I like to think of that as a gathering space. And when I look at this specific piece of art that hasn't sold yet, I think about how these shapes represent the connection between us and the people we love the most. I think about how the colors are grounding and capture the essence of warm, loving relationships and nature. But unlike the painting that Quentin chose for that more intimate space in their home, this one feels more inviting of a conversation, which I love for your living room because I think that's going to pique the interest of every person, no matter who they are or what their personality or interests are, which is what I think you're looking for in a statement piece for a wall like the one you showed me on your phone. I want you to imagine people coming in and out of your space, feeling more connected to you because they felt a connection to the artwork that you chose. And I want you to think of how, regardless of how similar or different you are from these people across all the areas of their life, that this artwork is an opportunity to bring you together. This is what I see all art doing. It makes us feel. It connects us. It plays to the senses. You know, Quentin sent me a message the other day about how calm they feel when they wake up, because the energy that radiates off the canvas almost absorbs into their body. And this made every ounce of love that I poured into that painting worth it times a million. So I'd love to get your thoughts and impressions of not just this piece, but others in the gallery, and just kind of talk through what you can envision on that wall and get a little bit more of a feel for what you're looking for today from a piece of art. Now, do you notice in that story how there were multiple moments of visualization, multiple potential objections addressed, and a clear through line to a desired outcome? And I ended it with a question because that beginning piece is the story, but the conversation is where the conversion happens. So you always want to reflect your thoughts in that story to them, but then pause and allow them to reflect back to you their experience and what they're wanting. Okay, let's explore another example where storytelling can work to shift the emotions in a buyer from feeling a little bit blocked to feeling more open. So let's say that you are selling virtual assistant services like social media management or calendar cleanup or even email campaign writing. The majority of people I see selling VA services like this will go about it in the same way over and over again, which is, I want to help you take back your time so you can focus on doing more of what you enjoy and are great at. This is not a bad value proposition. It's just very generic and very overused. And I think that people are blocked about hiring VAs because they all sound the same. And there are either 100 of them that are sending us the same messages every day, or we've been burned by hiring one or maybe several in the past that have not lived up to the expectation. Where storytelling can help is by making us more receptive to the messages we send. And our brains will hear the start of a sales pitch and literally tune out and shut off. But when we hear the start of a story, we will naturally get curious and lean in and be more receptive to hearing what comes next. So instead of sharing a post that's super generic, I'm going to give you an example. I invite you to tell a story instead. So I was scrolling Instagram and I just typed in the hashtag VA, and this is one that popped up right away. It said, here's how I can help support you and your business in 2024. And then there's sort of bullet points, inbox calendar management, community management, social media assistance, podcast, event and project assistance, basic bookkeeping, administrative tasks, personal assistant duties, need something that's not on this list, message me and we can discuss it. Okay, so let that one sink in for a second, because now I'm going to share a story that I wrote for this person after being inspired by a few copy-paste testimonials and little bits of background and story that were shared by the same exact person across their profile. They were just never brought together as a true story-type post. I was in awe from the moment I met Sophie. This is a woman who advocates for self-identifying women to reach their full potential and have their voices heard and overcome barriers to create a better future for themselves and their children. Talk about a heroine and a warrior of our modern day. One thing that immediately stood out to me about Sophie and her Women's Center was that she is standing up for the trans population in the UK. Something that very few people are willing to do. And I knew that this was something that needed to be highlighted more across their social media accounts and events. Bringing the trans community together for events and capturing photos that froze their joy and feelings of safety and time forever was a gift in itself. But highlighting their courage and hearing their stories, that is what has really changed my life and made my job as a virtual assistant so much more rewarding. I like to think that as a VA, my job has very little to do with the administrative tasks and everything to do with shifting the paradigm and creating generational change for a population of people who deserve and demand to be heard. It is about being the person who can translate Sophie's vision into a worldwide platform for everyone to see and experience. It is about blending her talent with mine for the greater good. Looking back at my time working with Sophie and this organization, I've realized that they are the essence and the reason for everything that I am doing in my business today. If you have a mission that needs sharing, or you have a platform that needs building, or you just need help with some of the back-end stuff so you can get to spreading that mission further and wider than ever before, please send me a message so we can talk about what is needed to make it happen. I would love to meet you, and I look forward to chatting soon. Now, I am purposely keeping this example broad because I want you to see that there is power in every layer of a story, even the highest and most superficial layer. But you could also take this same concept and go deeper. You can turn this into several pieces of content. You can talk specifically about the experience of each individual person in that photo. You can do so many things to take this story to the next level. And finally, there is the benefit of storytelling where people can actually see themselves as the hero of the story. This one is probably my favorite because it is how we ultimately sell ourselves on what you are offering so that you don't have to sell it to us. This is a classic model called the hero's journey, and it's very popular in marketing and very well researched, and there are tons of frameworks that you can Google for and find in seconds. And the premise is that you're walking your audience through a full journey from start to finish, and that they can personally relate to and feel excited about and hopeful for what's next. Since these stories tend to be more aspirational in nature, you can even use yourself instead of customers. Let's say you're a brand new business and you say, Justine, I don't have any stories to share yet. You can use yourself. You can even use an example of an ideal customer as the subject of your story. So there are no excuses and no limits to storytelling with this model. And it begins with a really simple setup. So we meet the hero in such a way that we start to care about them right out of the gate. Then we introduce some extraordinary opportunity that's often referred to as the call to action or adventure. Then we put them in an experience of self-doubt. We defer their success. A mentor at that point is often introduced and will move the hero closer to their destiny by encouraging them to go out and pursue that adventure. Then they're going to be tested and they're going to discover their own limits and their inner power and their potential. And there's a failure that happens here. that makes them relatable and inspiring. And as they face even more challenges, they reach their darkest moment and they have a breakthrough, a win. And still, their journey isn't over. At that point, they return to where it all started and they make peace with their life and they are forever changed as a result. Now, an example of this in story form is one that I'm going to use about myself and how I got into this sales journey, because I was just talking to you about how you can be the subject of your own story. It doesn't have to be a customer, and I want to illustrate that for you. I remember being so desperate to make money in college. I worked four jobs, one of which was calling alumni at the school that I attended and asking for donations during a recession. I'm sure you can imagine how that went. Not very well. And using the script that I was given, I had a lot of unanswered calls. And when someone finally did answer their phone, a lot of rude comments. And then one day, I was left to my own devices and I decided to try selling in my own style. And it worked. I asked for a $25 donation and that person gave me $100. It was a very different experience than the one I was used to. And I didn't want to get in trouble for going off script, so I only ever did this when I was left alone. And then one day my supervisor started recognizing my climbing stats on the leaderboard and began to ask me questions. And eventually she asked me to share my way of selling with the other people in the call center. And I was full of self-doubt in this moment. I barely had figured out how this was working on my own, and I did not have any experience teaching anyone anything before. So even when I said I would do it, it didn't work immediately. In fact, some of the people I was working with had even more anxiety with all of the new training that I was trying to do that they left the job or they requested to not be on the shift that I was on. And I felt like I was failing everybody. My biggest fear was that I was going to lose this job that I really needed with my mounting student loan debt. And then a new supervisor came in, and she wanted to change things up even more than the first one. And I was ready to give it up until I was put on some of our biggest donor accounts and actually increased some of their standard donation sizes. This was the proof that I needed to believe that I had a special skill when it came to selling, and more importantly, relating to people. I realized the only way I would get better at this thing was to do it more, that I needed to face my fear and not just sell differently the way that I was doing it, but teach differently. And fast forward to today, I am a six-figure sales coach with hundreds of clients in my portfolio who've generated millions of dollars. These skills did not just help me pay off my student loan debt in a few years. They helped me recognize my own talent and learn skills that I could transfer to people who once felt like me, stuck, in debt, massively talented, and not sure how to capitalize on it. And now I am committed to facing hard things with the trust that it will be worth it and that it will work out as it always has for me in the end. And every time I learn something new, I chase the failure in it. I think about the example that I am setting for myself and for my kids. I am sticking with it even when it's hard and even when I want to quit, which sometimes I still do. And I am reminding myself of all the ways that I can do it, because I believe that we are always given what we need. And we are always exactly where we are meant to be, a dark cave or peaceful fields. It is all part of the experience, and it's what makes us who we are. So now it's your turn. I want you to go think about your story. Reflect on your journey as the hero of your story. Reflect on your customers' experiences and how they are the heroes of their journey and your role in helping them reach and recognize those incredible milestones. And get out there and share it today. If you found this episode helpful, feel free to tag me with your thoughts and feedback at Justine Beauregard Coach on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have ideas for future episodes, I'd love to hear them. Just send an email to justine@justinebeauregard.com. And if you haven't yet, don't forget to click that subscribe button and rate and review the show. Your feedback means a lot to me and allows us to keep learning and growing together. I'll see you next week.